Welcome to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Taft. This podcast is a condensed version of today's episode of Undisputed, handpicked with the best segments and discussions. Skip, Shannon, let's go.
So Jerry Jones wasted no time in finding his next head coach. Mike McCarthy will lead the Cowboys into the 2020 season after sitting out this past year. McCarthy is reportedly open to keeping offensive coordinator Kellen Moore on staff in some capacity and expected to hire Mike Nolan as his defensive coordinator. Fox College football analyst and Super Bowl champ Reggie Bush with us this morning. We've been looking forward to having you just to get your take on this hire. In your opinion, McCarthy, good hire or bad hire for the Cowboys?
I think it was a very safe hire for Jerry Jones and the Dallas Cowboys based on who their last head coach was, Jason Garrett, who had never had any NFL head coaching experience prior to this job. And he also had a personal relationship with Jerry Jones. He was a player for him and had a personal relationship. So I also think that personal relationship, Jerry Jones allowed that to affect his business, because who do they always tell you not to do business with? Family and friends.
Yep.
Right? And so you bring in Mike McCarthy based on his coaching experience, because that's what they said they wanted, because he won a Super Bowl in 2010. But the game has changed so much since then. It's changed significantly since then. And the last 4 years, when I'm evaluating Mike McCarthy, the head coach, the last 4 years, he was 11-16-1 with one of the greatest quarterbacks in the NFL. Every year, year in and year out, we are mesmerized by Aaron Rodgers, what he can do on the field with his arms, with his legs, he can extend plays. But he won one time with them, and people, a lot of people say he should have won more games with Aaron Rodgers since then. And so Mike McCarthy this time around has to reinvent himself, because it's not a pocket passer league anymore, right? The top five quarterbacks from last year, from this year, from regular season, number one, Jameis Winston, pocket passer. Dak Prescott had a great year this year, but where did that get them, right? It got them 8-8. Number three, Jared Goff, four, Phillip Rivers, pocket passer, five, Matt Ryan.
And guess
where all are all those quarterbacks sitting right now?
That's a very good point.
Sitting at home.
First time since the merge of 70. That top five passes, none of them made the playoffs.
Oh, Shannon Sharp could bring details like that.
The top four rushers.
So if I'm evaluating Mike McCarthy, the head coach, I didn't love the hire, because if he's going to bring that same system from Green Bay and try to implement it into the Dallas Cowboys, I don't think it's going to work. Because it's not where the state of the game is right now, right? The Houston Texans beat Buffalo because of Deshaun Watson's ability to be able to scramble, right? To be able to extend plays with his legs. That's where the game is right now. And so that's what Mike McCarthy has to do this time around. The same thing Lamar Jackson did this offseason. He reinvented himself. That's the same thing that Mike McCarthy has to do this time around. Because I think if he tries to make Dak a pocket passer, that doesn't equal success, right? It doesn't translate to success. Aaron Rodgers this year was number 11. The year after Mike McCarthy leaves, where the Green Bay Packers at?
Yeah.
The number one seed.
Mm.
And so that's what we have to chew on, because that's the last thing that we've seen from Mike McCarthy.
Man, Reggie Bush just brought it.
Well, Skip, look, I said it yesterday, it's a good hire. This hire was going to, like, oh, my God, did you see who Jerry got? Jerry got this hot shot OC that lighten up college or – But Jerry says, this is the first time, Skip, I believe that Jerry believes that he has a Super Bowl, because I don't think he thought Jerry thinks he's going to the Super Bowl, but realistically, he believes he has a Super Bowl team.
Yep.
When he hired Jason Garrett, I mean, that was, a year after they had went 13-3, and Skip, they had lost in the divisional round to Eli. He's like, I'm not going to chance this team to a college guy or a first-year NFL head coach. I'm going to go with someone that's had previous experience because I believe this team is ready to take off. Mike McCarthy, look what I did. Jerry, for a guy that has as much as – Jerry is easily wild.
Yes.
For a guy that has it.
I would agree. He is.
So Mike went in there and said, Jerry, this is what I've been working on this offseason.
Yeah. I spent an offseason. I reinvented myself.
I got a 14-member team analytics. Ooh. All they're doing.
Sitting around.
Ooh.
Luda knew they know to be playing esports. Yeah, exactly.
You know what? Mike might hire Reggie Bush.
I go in there and call some players.
Yeah. Oh,
true. Skip, look, I agree with Reggie. And I said this yesterday, Skip. I said, it's a good hire. It's not great.
No.
But for what Jerry needs, Mike McCarthy was the perfect fit because of all the guys that were available, he had the best resume. Mm-hmm. He can already say, Jerry, I've taken a team to the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. And Jerry's like, well, you're right. All these other guys, if I bring in Urban Meyer, he's never coached in the NFL. If I bring in Lincoln Riley, I look at Lincoln Riley as a specialist. Yeah. He's an offensive guy, Skip.
Yeah.
His defense leaves a lot to be desired. His special teams are not great. Ain't like they running back punts and kickoff and blocking punts all over the place.
Right, right.
So I look at him as a specialist. Mm-hmm. And he's like, these other guys, Marvin did an unbelievable job in Cincinnati.
Marvin Lewis.
Mm-hmm. But his resume is not like Mike. It's not like Mike McCarthy.
No.
So Mike McCarthy was safe. He's not going to wow you. But Jerry believed that this is the guy that can take us to where we need to
be. But why not interview more coaches? Well, right? He
interviewed 10 before he hired Wade Phillips. And this time he interviewed 2 before he settled on. And one of the two is Mike McCarthy.
His last 3 Super Bowls came from.
Acquired, I think, by the Rooney Rule.
His last 3 Super Bowls came from coaches who came from college. Jimmy Johnson and Barry Switzer.
Huh.
So why not at least interview some?
And to your point, I needed a bombshell splash of a hire.
You did.
I needed your teammate, Urban Meyer. Mm-hmm. And I know it would have been high risk, mm-hmm. but high reward.
Mm-hmm.
High risk because he's never coached a down in the National Football League. But boy, he coached a bunch of downs in college football at the highest level.
He coached a bunch of guys that played in the NFL.
He sure did.
One
of them's name is Ezekiel Elliott. And I wanted somebody who would bring an edge, who would light a fire under a soft, underachieving 8-8 football team.
Okay. Mm.
If you want to, if you can figure out how to finagle Sean Payton out of New Orleans, or bring back Bill Cowher, or somehow talk Bill Belichick into leaving that sinkhole up there in New England and coming to Dallas and saving the day.
You might bring Tom Brady with him.
No, he won't.
You won't want that, do you?
I would take that.
Oh, so Dak.
Yeah, I put Dak on ice.
Oh, my goodness. Dak, you hear that?
I'd put him on ice.
I'm surprised. Okay.
So here's the point. I'm going to hark back to that Bleacher Report expose of last April about why Aaron Rodgers and Mike McCarthy fell apart and Mike got fired.
Mm-hmm.
Reason number one was Mike McCarthy's scheme went stale, said the article, and he did not, to your point, adapt. He did not adapt. No. He started to get full of his own juice, was the quote in the story. So what did Mike do? PR. He went back into his laboratory up there in his house in Green Bay and spent the whole year off reinventing his scheme, right?
Do something.
I'm not buying it, but he sold Jerry a whole bill of goods on this one, and Jerry swallowed it hook, line, and sinker. And then the article says that Mike, over the last 4 years, slowly checked out and lost his enthusiasm to the point that during Saturday walkthroughs his last year in Green Bay, he would sneak upstairs and get a massage in his office, which really did not please Aaron Rodgers, and I do not believe, blame him for that, because... Really? Your head coach is getting a massage during your Saturday walkthrough? I've never heard of that before.
I've never heard of that either, no.
Okay, and then finally.
It's hard coaching in Green Bay.
When Ted Thompson first hired Mike McCarthy, he called him that he was full of Pittsburgh macho. He grew up in Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. But there's an insider in the article, a personnel director, says that Mike McCarthy is a fake tough guy, that he talks a better game than he actually plays as a tough guy, which is why the article has many quotes saying that he created a soft culture in Green Bay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a finesse
so
coach.
So wait, meet the new coach, same as the old coach. This is Jason Garrett all over again because Jason created a very soft culture in Dallas.
And sometimes, Skip, when you have a great player, sometimes the lines get blurred. You don't realize that that player is great and you think it's me.
Right.
So he probably sold
I think he thought it was him. I agree with you.
Well, look what he did when Aaron Rodgers was hurt, when Brett Favre was hurt. That's where he really struggled. And that's where I believe coaches really excel. That's where you really earn your money.
Look at Sean Payton when Drew Brees got hurt. Look at Kyle Shanahan when Jimmy Garoppolo, he's taking C.J. Beathard, he's taking guys. He's like,
third-string quarterback.
Who are these guys? And winning ball games. Yeah. That's when you know a guy can coach.
That's true.
If you get Aaron Rodgers and Brett Favre, well, you should win.
Yep.
You got two of them.
Off top.
And Mike McCarthy was criticized in this article for never finding anybody and rarely benching anybody, so he didn't crack the proverbial whip at all. He's not that kind of guy. He wants to coach offense. He wants to throw the football a whole lot, his way.
A lot.
Okay?
Skip, you got to have discipline. You got to have structure.
Yeah.
If guys, you guys got to, listen, guys are going to skate. And if you let them, they'll keep, you know, some coaches, and that was the thing that Mike, you know, Wade, I love Wade, but Wade's problem was he let guys, as long as you played for Wade on Sunday, you can be a little late, you can be 5-6 pounds overweight. Mike Shanahan's like, hell no, you're not. It's $50 a pound, and it's $100, and it's $150, $200. So pretty soon, like, whoa, okay, I'm getting fined $20,000 for weight.
Wow.
You got to hold guys accountable.
The best coaches always strike a little fear in the locker room.
You got to have
a little afraid of this guy. He might just
release somebody.
Yeah, and they need to get back to that toughness aspect that you're talking about for the Dallas Cowboys, because right now, this is a talented team.
So they say.
They got a lot of talent on that team.
They have a lot of talent.
They do.
But this was Jerry Jones' this was his time to win right now.
Okay. And I think he just hired a more accomplished Jason.
I think Reggie's word said it all. Safe. It really seems to be the right fit for the situation. No mercy. Derrick Henry led the league in rushing yards this season, and he didn't slow down against the Patriots in Foxborough. Henry racked up 182 yards and a touchdown on the ground, and he also accounted for 75% of the Titans' total yards in their 20-13 win. So, Reggie, are you seeing all-time greatness when you look at Derrick Henry?
100%. He is a big body running back in a finesse league, right? Mm-hmm. He's as big as a linebacker.
Sure.
I mean, it's Shannon Sharp playing running back. That's what it is.
He's
That's what you're looking at.
Is he really?
Shannon Sharp playing running back.
Is he really?
Well, he's 250.
250?
I'm 245.
I think you're 260.
I'm 245.
That's Eddie
246 this morning.
That's That's Eddie George playing running back in this league right now.
He's bigger than Eddie George.
He is.
I mean, we saw in the last game against the Patriots, man, them safeties and linebackers did not want to tackle him towards the end of that game.
No.
When they were running the clock down, it was one corner. I don't know who he was, but he was running away from Derrick Henry.
He's like, I'm going to let you get to the sideline so I can push you out of bounds. This one right here.
That one right there. But he's built to last. He's built to go deep into the playoffs. He's built for the cold weather. He's everything that you want in a running back when you get to the postseason and when you're trying to make a push towards the end of the season to get to the playoffs or to win a division or whatever it is. So I do think he has Hall of Fame potential.
Wow.
I think he can be, you know, one of the best to ever do it. I mean, look at his size and his speed, what he brings to the game. It's just tough to tackle a guy like that. He could block a defensive end probably by himself. That's how big he is, and that's what you get with him, and it's just, look, this game is going to be interesting against the Baltimore Ravens.
You got that right.
Because
it might be over in an hour, though. They might going to be running the ball. The clock ain't going to stop.
Exactly. I don't know if it's going to be a running clock, but, I mean, there's going to be so much running in that football game. This is going to be an old-school, smash-mouth, buckle-your-chin-strap type football game. A lot of hard hits in the trenches. And I can't wait to see how it plays out. But, yeah, I love Derrick Henry. I love what he's bringing to this game right now. He's not revolutionizing, but he's kind of bringing it back to that old school football look and feel again.
Skip, I'm not there yet. I need to see more. But I believe he's a top five back. Hey, Cleveland, did you watch what Tennessee did?
Ooh.
You got Nick Chubb.
Man.
You play through your running back when you got a guy like that, Skip. You see what happened was, and Reggie, you'll understand this. Derrick Henry is what we call, Skip, a long strider.
Yeah.
If you don't make him check his feet, if you don't make him change direction, he gets the ball, he goes 1, 2, 3 to the line of scrimmage, kiss the baby.
That's it.
He's going to fall forward for 5 yards.
That's it. Yeah.
If you notice, Skip, they did what the defense started doing, what we call on the offense side, mugging. They started putting Hightower in the A-gap.
Yeah.
Because now we want to make him cut back. We want to make him check those feet so we can get people there. Because if we let him get ahead of steam, Skip, the first half, every time he touches the ball, he's getting eight. He's getting the first down. I had never seen anything like that. I'm like, every time?
Every time.
I mean, at some point in time, you got to get the guy, let him get 2 yards, not a first down. He's getting a first down on every carry.
Yeah, in obvious run situations, too.
Obvious run situations. But, Skip, they made it. See, there's a difference between running the football and having commitment to run the football. Mm-hmm. Mike Vrabel went in there and said, we're running the deep football. It's amazing that he could. Skip, they went down the field. He carried the ball 5 times for 50 yards, all of them.
All of them.
And didn't come out.
Yeah.
It's all like.
And then he caught one pass for 22 yards and took it down to the one.
Yeah.
He's, Skip, he's so big, but he's faster than you think.
Because
he's a strider. Now, once he opens up, if you saw the last game of the season when they played the Houston Texans and the carry that he went, he broke, he passed Nick Chubb for the rush.
Yeah.
He went 53 yards, he went through the line, he stepped to the right, and he got going. You know, he got a 99-yarder up on his belt.
He did.
So he got more, but Skip, I need to see more. But he's a top five back. When you think of back, I still like Saquon Barkley, Chubb, Christian McCaffrey. But don't throw Kano Zeke out. But Skip, Tennessee Titans are really the only team this year that committed. Say, Derrick Henry, run us home.
Mm-hmm.
And he did that.
They had Marcus Mariota and Ryan Tannehill. What else are they going to do?
Right. But, hey, you got Nick Chubb, who led the league for rushing for the better part of 6 weeks.
I got it. Okay, I do appreciate your point. You need to see a little more.
Yes.
But it was significant that that man went into that stadium against that coach who is known, who is notorious for saying, I will take away what you do best.
Yeah.
And he ran for 182 yards. You're kidding.
Nobody's done. No, I don't remember the last team to do that.
No, nobody's done that. So I told you yesterday, I'm watching thinking, this is a moose who runs like a deer. That's what he is. Because he ran 4.5 at the combine, but he even looks faster to me than that.
Yes.
And you know speed.
Yeah. The game speed is different than that 40 speed.
Yeah, exactly.
I saw supreme game speed. I saw quickness from 250 pounds.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
250 pounds, who can, he's got a little wiggle in the hole, but he's like a bigger Eric Dickerson to me because Eric ran upright like that.
Mm-hmm.
But Eric was 225,
maybe? 225, 230. But Skip, this guy runs the contact.
Yeah.
And you ain't trying to tackle no defensive end, no late third and fourth quarter.
This late into the season, into the postseason.
It's cold.
Yeah.
No.
It's cold. Nobody trying to tackle like that, Nicole.
Sometimes the best trade is the one you don't make.
Yep.
Yeah.
And the Titans attempted to trade him at the trade deadline in 2018 and failed and hung on to him because at that point he was just their short yardage back behind Deion Lewis of the Patriots, right? And all of a sudden, he had the breakout game on that Thursday night. Remember the one against the Jaguars?
Yes.
And he ran wild on that. Yeah, he had the 99-yarder leading to 238 total. Yeah. And all of a sudden, he was off to the races.
But, Skip, the thing is with him, all you had to do was go back and look at him at Alabama.
Yeah.
His sophomore year, Skip, he only had 172 touches, and he ran for 1,000 yards. Now, he had to split carries. Mm-hmm. Once he became the feature back, it's over 2,200, and he runs you to a national title.
And a Heisman. Yep.
Now, last year, you splitting carries with him and Deion Lewis. Skip, Deion Lewis is a great compliment.
Yeah, he is.
Throwing screen passes, you know, stuff like little gap. That guy needs touches.
He's a number one.
He needs 25, 30 touches a game for you to get the full benefit of it.
Mm-hmm.
And Mike Vrabel is, I love Mike Vrabel, because Mike Vrabel learned a lot. Because you see how he ran the clock down on Coach Belichick.
Oh, man.
The very thing that Coach Belichick do, find every loophole. And Mike Vrabel was on the sideline, I will get you.
Bruh.
Hey, loved it.
Take another penalty. Okay, start the clock again. Take another penalty. And then they jump off. So he takes almost 2 minutes off the clock.
He pulled it off.
Yeah.
Beating Coach Belichick. And what Coach Belichick beat everybody up. The first time you can honestly say, Skip, Coach Belichick got out coached in a game.
He did.
How often do we say that?
He got it.
But this time around against Baltimore, they're going to need to score more than 14 points to beat Baltimore.
Yep, this is a game you can appreciate. This old Big 8 football, this Nebraska-Oklahoma. They're going to run the ball. They're going to, somebody getting 45 carries.
But I think we're going back far. I think this is Jim Brown football.
Somebody going to sleep in the trenches, too.
They're going to be 80 carries probably between these two teams.
Yeah.
Because Baltimore going to run 45 times. Mm-hmm. Between the quarterback, Lamar, and Gus Edwards, and Hill, and Ingram, if Ingram's healthy, and you know he's getting it 30-plus.
Yeah.
It was also Henry's 26th birthday on Saturday. Ooh. Did you see that?
Oh, that's right. That was a storm. Right. You remember the storm? Oh, storm that had a storm up there, Henry. No, what they call that storm? They had a storm that blew through, that was named Henry.
Really?
Yeah, not Derry Henry, an actual storm. An actual storm.
No, they did. You know, you started to use the word revolutionary. I think we're heading there.
Yeah,
with him.
Yeah, it could be.
But Skip, because remember they said the running back, oh, it's valued. The running back position is dead.
Valued, yep.
No. This not dude, when you see this.
When you see Lamar Jackson, you see what Baltimore, what they're doing.
Yeah.
Nah, you still need to run the football.
And that's why when we talked about Mike McCarthy, the state of the game is different, right? The game has changed. It's going back towards we're seeing running backs and you know running quarterbacks start to slowly but surely climb and climb and climb. And that's where the state of the game is right now. So that's why it's perfect for a running back like Derrick Henry because of how big he is. And he's just as big or bigger than a lot of these linebackers.
And nobody practices tackling anymore.
Nobody.
So the first time you get to tackle somebody is on Sunday, and you got to tackle that.
Nah.
If he can go into Baltimore and take that game over,
whew. I know.
Nah. That's legendary. Ah.
How good are these games? Okay, I'm excited.
Wait, this is the game I'm looking forward to.
Right?
Me too. Yeah. No mercy.
The Patriots season came to a shocking end in the wild card round against the Titans on Saturday night. Derrick Henry ran for 182 yards in the upset victory, which we just talked about. But the story everyone is talking about right now is the possible end of the Tom Brady, Bill Belichick era. The 42-year-old Brady is an unrestricted free agent this offseason. And after the game, he said retirement was, quote, pretty unlikely. Meanwhile, Belichick said that bringing Brady back was not a one-way street. Fox Sports NFL analyst James Harrison with us now. James, who stays, who goes in New England?
The business of it says that Belichick stays because I can get more time out of him than I can get out of Brady. If you're lucky, you got another year or two. If the sky falls three, Bill can give you another 10, 15 years of coaching, and you see, you know, what he's done. And if you even go down his tree of coaches that he has produced, three of the coaches that beat him this year was from his tree.
Yeah.
So if they can get past the personal relationship that Kraft and Brady has and look at the business sense of it, it dictates that you have to go with Belichick.
Hmm.
That's Mr. Kraft is playing a dangerous game because it clouded Jerry Jones' judgment with Jason Garrett. You know Jason Garrett should have been fired years ago.
Years ago.
even if you give him the benefit of the doubt, said you believe he should have been gone after the 2012 season. But after 2015, he could have been gone.
Okay, but now we're talking about the greatest quarterback ever, not Jason Garrett. Yeah.
That being said, you can't let Skip. They moved on. And I get, and people are like, well, they moved on because they have somebody. There will come a time you're going to have to make a tough decision.
Mm-hmm.
And therein lies why you don't get close, Skip. You're going to have to move on. You're going to have to cut him. You're going to have to trade him, or he's going to retire. But the situation's going to change. And the closer you are to that person, the more difficult it is.
Yes.
That's why Coach Belichick has never got close to anyone.
I agree.
That's why he can wipe his...
I believe... Belichick and Brady are a lot closer than what you see on TV and what they want to portray as far as what they say on social media, because I've been in that locker room. I've seen them interact. I've seen Kraft, Brady, and Belichick interact all together, and they're closer than what you think. But the business sense of the game, it's 100 years. We're on 100 years.
Yeah.
It's going to be another 100 years of this, okay? You want to be competitive at where you're at in England. To be that, you're going to have to keep a hold of someone that can be around longer. And Belichick is the person that can be around longer.
I don't believe they hate each other, but if Coach Belichick hasn't developed that close relationship where I go eat with you, you go eat with me, we hang out together, and clouds my judgment because he already tried to move on. Skip, how much more clear can it be? I tried to divorce you one time before.
Yeah.
And I was overruled by someone that signs my check. If it was left up to me, bro, you were gone 2 years ago. Truth be told.
And then, bro, took you to two more Super Bowls.
But guess what? He had already taken you to five. So he knew what Brady was, but he also knows that being in this league as long as he has, if I don't have that bridge transition, I'm the Pittsburgh Steelers. I win 4 in the 70s, and I don't have anybody to replace Terry Bradshaw, and I got to wait to 2004 before I get Ben Roethlisberger. Or the Miami Dolphins are still trying to replace Dan Marino, who retired in 2000. Coach Belichick's not me. Skip, he's going to stay around because guess what? I think it's about 45 wins short of Don Shula. He knows if he gets that record, Skip, he ain't going there. Ain't nobody touching that. Mm-hmm. Ain't nobody going to have it. What we see from the Patriots, no matter what you think of them, they cheated or Brady, yada, 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 you're never going to see that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And Coach Belichick's willing to bring it up.
Okay. I remind you, relationships, player-coach relationships, are two-way streets. Mm-hmm. So I've told you before that many close friends of Brady have told me over the years that he has been constantly sort of amazed and amused by the fact Belichick will not socialize with him in the offseason. To your point, arm's length. Mm-hmm. Again, they have a fine working relationship,
right.
They can joke and kid occasionally, mm-hmm. and you've seen
yes.
it in the locker room. But in the offseason, they have never once played golf together except the one time at Pebble Beach Pro-Am. They were paired together, but it wasn't their choice. Mm-hmm. It was the tournament's choice.
Right.
So Brady's often wondered, we kind of live, we're in the same neighborhood. We could actually maybe go play golf one time in the offseason because Brady loves to play. Right. Both love to play.
Yes.
Nope, because arm's length. And I respect that.
Yeah.
But that works both ways
right.
because now Brady feels no loyalty, especially to Belichick.
Right.
There's no
True.
Love there, to like deep tie, deep bond.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, the tables have turned because I believe Tom is going to sit back and evaluate a team that Peter King wrote the other day is ancient. And it is. It's ancient. 11 of 22 starters on Saturday night were either 29 or older, and there are a bunch more who played a bunch of snaps who were 29 or older.
Mm-hmm.
By NFL standards, it's an ancient football team. Now,
right.
that's, Belichick has won with older football
right,
teams because
right.
he'd bring in James Harrison for a pop to get me to a Super Bowl,
he,
right?
He likes those older
right.
guys, Skip,
yeah.
because he knows they're not going to make the mistakes that a young guy
okay.
would make.
Mm-hmm. I got that. But at some point, you just get flat out old.
You do.
And it's starting to look like a really old football team that can't be immediately fixed next year. I don't think you can just snap your fingers and fix what we saw on Saturday
night.
They
got a lot of free agents. Not just Tom Brady, but the McCourty and the Van Noys. They got
the
a lot of
that
people that's up, Skip.
Yeah.
Okay. And I'm not going to beat this dead horse again. Earlier in the show, I detailed you how many swings and misses Bill Belichick has made on not keeping a player or not drafting a player, and it added up to the worst supporting cast I believe any quarterback had this year in the NFL was Brady's supporting cast at the end of the year.
But Skip, he gets a pass for all the swings and misses because he's won with other people's
Absolutely.
Swings and misses.
Right.
Okay.
So we get that.
It.
He's terrible at drafting. Outside of Gronk and Tom Brady and I mean, look, I don't even count Tom Brady.
I don't count Tom Brady's skill. You don't count on Tom Brady to be a six-rounder
exactly.
to come and do
so the Gronks and the Richard
okay.
Seymours.
All right, I got it. But my point to you is I believe Robert Kraft in the very near future will preside over a very private sit-down, maybe a dinner with Brady and Belichick, the three of them, very private. And he will try to, and he can be a silver-tongued you-know-what.
Yeah.
He's very persuasive.
Right.
He will try to convince them, let's do it one more time. Let's see what happens next year. Let's see if we can get it right next year. And to your point, again, if you're forced to, you'd want to keep the coach
right.
who can go for 15 or whatever more
at
years.
At least 10.
Okay,
right.
at least 10. Okay, I got the your sort of approach to that.
Right.
But you also know that if Tom Brady goes to, let's say, the Los Angeles Chargers and goes and wins another Super Bowl, then you swung and missed again. Then the joke is on you.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that Robert Kraft, from the quotes that he told Peter King on Saturday,
right.
that he is going to pull out all the stops to convince Tom to please come back and finish with us.
Or retire.
Or retire,
yeah.
which
he
would be the optimal
now,
way to go.
Now, I'm sure he could manage to get something in there or get
okay.
something that looks great enough to say,
okay.
you know what, I'm going to retire as a Patriot. Even
okay.
though,
right. You mean now or after another year?
No, maybe yeah. now.
Okay, well, you mean to talk him into that's enough?
Talk him into, hey, that's enough.
Skip, what,
I don't think you're going
to
win that one.
Let me ask you a question, Skip.
Play.
Let's just
hey.
Say for the sake of argument. Obviously, Tom, I think everybody believes that Tom wants to play. Ideally, probably maybe his situation, ideal situation would be return to New England. Let's just say he wants to return. Coach Belichick says no. Mr. Kraft says yes. That would be twice. That Mr. Kraft.
That's why I told you at some point, will Belichick say,
Coach Belichick said, hold on,
right.
wait a minute.
So what happens then? Does Belichick say, you know what, let me out of here?
Woo! He doesn't have a contract.
Let me go to the Cowboys, see if they want to fire the guy. They
just like,
oh, I told you that.
Skip Bayless would get some of his money to get Coach Belichick out of
here. I would. No, as much as I don't like what he has done to Tom Brady, if you told me I could have him in Dallas, thank you.
You'd be fine?
Yep. Well, you're going to be looking for a new partner because I ain't finna sit up here and have you gloat every Monday come in here. Exactly. Yeah. I'm not going to have that. Super Bowl after Super Bowl after Super Bowl.
James said I'd come here every Monday and talk Cowboys, and he would not love that.
No.
That would not be a good situation with Coach Belichick.
Coach Belichick in Dallas?
Yep. Well, he's going to want to go somewhere.
Yeah.
So, and I thought he might be in play for the Giants. We're going to talk about this in a little bit, but it sounds like they have now moved in another shocking direction with one of his assistants.
They got a limb from the tree.
Yep.
Ooh. Or maybe a leaf off the tree.
Hey, it's his tree, though. His tree is not doing too bad now.
Nope. The tree doing good. They're better than
how many other people can say they got a tree that's growing like that? cut a limb off here, plant it, and watch it go.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
They're doing good.
I do not think Tom Brady is going to be a Patriot next year, and I do believe he is going to play football.
I know he wants to play.
Just for the record, guys, his home in Brookline, still for sale. It's gone down $8 million. So for $33.9 million, you guys
drop another $8 and I'm going to get it.
It's in Massachusetts, man. Listen, that house going to be there for
the next
5 years.
He can drop in $30
million. It has a yoga studio. It has a farm kitchen. It has whatever
you need. Farm.
What's a farm kitchen?
Farm-inspired kitchen.
No.
You could put a cow in there and milk it, or what?
I don't know. It's supposed to be really fancy. Mm-mm.
Shannon Sharp has a mansion in Bel Air. What does he want one in Brooklyn?
You don't need anything in Brooklyn.
The upkeep. Anytime, anything over a couple of $1 million, you talk about the upkeep. I can't even pay the light bill in that place.
Hey, I believe Tom and Giselle are about to be your new neighbors.
Come on, Tommy.
There you go. No mercy. Well, Jerry Jones wasted no time in making Mike McCarthy the next Cowboys head coach after they officially moved on from Jason Garrett. Brett Favre played under McCarthy in Green Bay and thinks it will be a good fit in Dallas. Take a listen.
Obviously, he's the owner. Everything starts and stops with him. Mike's a smart guy. He knows that. And he knows that maybe at times Jerry will interfere or say things that you necessarily don't agree with or don't like. But it is what it is. But I'll say this, Mike, he's one of those guys from Pittsburgh. He's hard-nosed. He's tough. He's an aggressive personality. And if there's anyone out there presently that can handle that, it's Mike. I believe that wholeheartedly.
Well, Shannon, do you agree with Favre here?
No. Hell no. Mm. He'll be just like the rest of them, Skip. He'll just fall in line and Jerry will care about his business. I don't care about no Pittsburgh. Man, they need to stop this. They think everybody that comes from Pittsburgh is tough.
You know what I'm saying? Like, talk to James.
You know, everybody from Pittsburgh is tough. It's like, well, man, James, I'm from Brooklyn. I'm from the Bronx. Okay. Y'all get fired on too. Man, stop this with this.
What is
Pittsburgh tough thing? Skip, Jerry's going to do what Jerry, the boss. That's what Jerry signs the check. He's made it abundantly clear. If I'm paying for everything, you don't think I'm going to have a say? He said that with Jim. He said, I hate to say this, but I had final say with Bill Parcells. He's going to do that, Skip. There's going to be a situation. Dak, Zeke, and Roy for 272 yards. The media is going to talk to Jerry outside of the locker room before they ever get a chance to talk to Zeke. That's just the way it is. Jerry's okay. As a matter of fact, Jerry's not just okay with that. Jerry would have it no other way. It's easy. Mike McCarthy has never had a situation where Ted Thompson or Mark Murphy second-guessed him publicly. Not maybe behind closed doors, but the public never heard of it. This is what he's going to have to deal with. And his other bosses were fans, where they second-guessed him all the time, especially after he kept losing in the playoffs, Skip.
Yep.
But Jerry, Skip, Jerry's a different animal. Everybody says they can handle that. You know, Skip, when I post my photos about my breakfast, people ask, well, Shannon, how do you eat the same thing? Because when you do it for 20 years, it becomes easy. Mike McCarthy never had a boss that second-guessed him publicly. Hmm. So how do you handle that, Skip? Hmm. After a game, we should have went for it on fourth down. I don't like that call on offense. I thought we should have run Zeke more instead of threw more. How is that going to sit with him? Exactly right. He gonna sit right there and just take it. He ain't no handling it. You just deal with it. It ain't no Jerry. Can you stop? What are you gonna come out public and say? Well, I wish Jerry wouldn't do that. I wish Jerry wouldn't second guess me. I'm doing the best I can. Team's doing the best I can. Is he gonna say something like that? Is he gonna tell Jerry to his face, Jerry, I wish you wouldn't do that. I wish you wouldn't second guess me publicly. Mm. No, he gonna bite his lip like the rest of them and go ahead and put his head down and continue to work. So he's not gonna handle anything. Mm.
Has Jerry ever hired a coach who has won a Super Bowl?
No.
No. Interesting.
Interesting.
Mike McCarthy's got a big ego. He does not have a personality to match.
Right.
He's got a little personality. So in press conference settings, like the one we're about to witness.
Is it happening today or tomorrow?
I don't know when. I haven't heard of
time yet. And
they're probably going to do it from Jerry's house.
I don't think so.
Well, maybe they're still living together.
I don't know.
Stayed over.
I'm going to get to that in just a minute. But at that press conference, I promise you, Jerry will do most of the talking and Mike will be just fine with that. And I also promise you that this Mike has talked to Mike Nolan, longtime defensive coordinator, friend of his, who hired him when he was the head coach in San Francisco and let Mike be his offensive coordinator.
Correct.
They've had several conversations. We can handle Jerry. We'll just ignore Jerry.
Right.
Well, speaking of tough guys, I'm going to tell you this about Jerry. I know him very well. I have seen this man lose his temper. Not a pretty sight.
Yeah.
Jerry's a tough guy. I don't care what you say. When you plunge out there into the oil and gas fields and you lose your shirt and then you gain your fortune, you have to have some level of toughness. He was a starting offensive guard for a national championship team at Arkansas. I have seen him get mad, and you wouldn't want to mess with him. He's actually bigger than you think. So if push came to shove and Jerry got in a fight with somebody, again, depending on what the guy's age was, my money might be on Jerry because he's the guy you'd have to...
Well, the guy better be 80 because Jerry 77.
Well, what I'm saying, he's the one of those guys you'd have to kill to whip because he's got that kind of crazy toughness to him. So let's not underestimate his toughness. Yeah. So you can't push him either.
Right. Okay? Of course.
Okay.
Yeah, but Skip, you can't tell your boss what he can and can't say.
Yeah.
He the boss.
Okay. So this is why this whole idea of he stayed at Jerry's house is being overestimated.
Okay.
Because once upon a time, you remember Terry Donahue.
I do.
20 years was the head coach at UCLA and then went on to become the GM of the San Francisco 49ers during the T.O. saga. He was the one who said, I've seen enough of T.O., I'm going to ship him out of here. The point was that in 1998, Jerry Jones attempted to hire Terry Donahue to coach the sort of the end of Troy Aikman's career in Dallas because he had been Troy's coach at UCLA.
Correct.
And I know for a fact, because Terry told me this story, that he was invited to spend the weekend at Jerry's house. And it's the same house in Highland Park that now Mike McCarthy
weekend at Bernie's, you know.
It's one of those, okay? And he stayed through the weekend, and it was all fun and games until Jerry slid that little piece of paper across the table that had, $500,000 on it, which was kind of lowballing for a head coach.
Right.
And Terry said, do you mind if I make a phone call? And he went back to his bedroom. This is a story he told me. And he called his lawyer slash agent named Marvin Dimoff, who happens to be yours. Correct?
Correct.
Okay. All right. So he called Marvin and Marvin said, don't sign it. Don't do it. We need to have another negotiating session. And Jerry got sideways with Marvin and this thing blew apart. In the quote, this is out of the LA Times story of that day. Apparently, Donahue was bothered by a number of aspects of how Jones has structured the Cowboys, taking such a hands-on approach to running the club. Duh. You know, like, okay, it was already operating in 1998.
Right.
Exactly.
Okay.
So not only have you got a hands-on approach, you lowballing me.
At least
if you're gonna have a hands-on approach, give me top dollar because I got to deal with your bull jive.
And
I got to coach the team, deal with your bull jive. I need top dollar for that.
I would be shocked if he paid Mike McCarthy top dollar, NFL dollar, because he just doesn't believe in paying the coach a lot because what's Jerry's mantra? I coach the coach.
Right.
That's what Al Davis taught him in 1989, his first year
and
as owner.
It should be a privilege for you to coach my football team.
Yeah.
It should be a privilege for you to play my football team.
After ended so badly with Aaron Rodgers, I believe that Mike McCarthy does see it as a golden opportunity to show Green Bay how you screwed up and fired me.
Right.
Right?
Can you imagine? We normally get this skill when players, you know, with Manning, Brady, but can you imagine if the Cowboys and the Packers met in next year's playoff?
Mm.
You already know the story, Skip.
Just got chills. Mm.
You already know the story. This would be like Gruden and the Raiders. Mm. You remember that Super Bowl, Skip? Tampa, when he was in Tampa?
Yep.
Mm. All over again.
You like that?
That'll be our game, too. Oh, Aaron Rodgers gonna do him in. Aaron Rodgers do him in.
I'm afraid Aaron Rodgers might do him in. I mean, Aaron Rodgers is like voodoo at Jerry.
Yeah.
He's got some.
But don't worry about it. First of all, that'll be years down the road because y'all not making the playoff next year.
Well, I think you just stumbled into that and said, what if? And I think you were thinking they might.
I was thinking 2021, 2022.
Year.
Yeah, okay. I ain't say next year.
What did you say their record would be, 9-7?
I'll be 9.
Yesterday.
Because Skip is really hard. I mean, it's early in the year. So, I mean, New Year's just started. I don't want Skip to take it too hard. 9-7.
I'm unfortunately nice feeling game. A real solid 8-8 next year.
Real solid.
Yeah. Yeah,
no,
because this
Jason
is a solid, solid
you go,
coach.
You go 8-8, you might get your wish that what you got for Jason Garrett. You might get fired. You go 8-8.
I think I just got Jason McCarthy. Right?
Safe choice right now.
No mercy.
Well, the day after the Cowboys found their new coach, the Giants have reportedly found theirs as well. New York is finalizing a deal with Patriots special teams and wide receivers coach Joe Judge to be their next head coach. The Giants have also requested to speak with Jason Garrett to be their offensive coordinator. Interesting stuff. Shannon, your reaction to the news.
What? Skip, they're going too far with this now. I mean, I understand a branch, but they get a leaf off the tree and think it's going to bear fruit.
This is a leaf.
Not to be confused with Judge Joe Brown. Joe Judge, I guess they're hoping to strike lightning like the Ravens struck special teams coach when they hired John Harbaugh because he wasn't a quote-unquote a position. He's a special teams coordinator. And we see how that's turned out. And maybe the Giants are hoping they can have that level of success. He worked 3 years as the Patriots, 8 years with Coach Saban at Alabama for 3 seasons.
Yeah.
He's also, this year, he was the special teams and wide receivers coach.
Never heard of that before. Special teams and wide receivers?
Yeah, normally you have one job. you coach one position. This isn't college or high school where the OC is offensive coordinator, the quarterback coach, all that stuff. This is the NFL.
And by the way, he presided over the worst group of wide receivers in Patriots history.
But he got the job with the strength of his special teams.
Ah,
they were very good.
Okay.
So I guess, you know, Panthers get Matt Rhule. Wow. Boy, these guys these just guys coming out of nowhere getting head coaches. Skip, they thought Joe Judge was going to take the job at Mississippi State because that's where he went to school.
Yeah.
And like, why would I take that job? I can get me an NFL job.
It was reported he was offered the gig and turned it down for the Giants.
All the jobs. Skip, look, I don't want to minimize or try to take for granted. There's only 32 head coaching jobs. But obviously, when you talk about the Giants, Skip, you're talking about a cornerstone franchise.
Cornerstone. Big deal.
He got it.
Big Apple.
He got it.
Joe Judge?
Joe.
What? It's sort of like Daniel Jones?
Oh.
Yeah. Daniel Jones?
They got a lot of common.
Huh.
Your reaction, Skip?
This is beyond Cliff Kingsbury to me because I know Cliff had been fired for being a sub-500 coach
right.
at Texas Tech, but at least he had been a head coach.
Correct.
So you got some idea of how to run an organization. Joe Judge has no idea how to run one. He was muzzled like all the assistants are in New England, so he's never even he's not even spoken to the media, to my knowledge. Maybe some reporter here or there.
Maybe at the Super Bowl, Skip, because everybody get a opportunity there, but that's it.
But I don't remember him at the Super Bowl. He's only 38 years of age. And by the way, my first reaction to this whole landscape right now is they're just hiring African-American coaches right and left. What's happened to the Rooney Rule? It's not working.
Skip, the spirit. I get what they're trying to do in spirit, but Skip did look.
Matt Rhule? Are you kidding me? I watched Matt Rhule's Baylor teams twice this year against my Oklahoma Sooners. They had a 31-10 lead at halftime at home and lost to Oklahoma. Then they lost to Oklahoma in the Big 12 title game.
By
Georgia, run off the field. What happened? How did you become? You were the assistant offensive line coach for 1 year in New York, and suddenly you're the hottest NFL candidate, and Carolina snaps you up? For what? What have you ever done? Show me.
And then they tell, if I'm Jason, first, and they say they're waiting, they found a. Would you say
speak with Jason? Why did
as the coordinator?
For what? Listen. If I'm ever married, My wife files paperwork for a divorce. I'm not waiting until the divorce is finalized for me to start talking to someone else. You've already fired me, Jerry Jones. I'm going to New York. I don't care what you say.
It's too soon.
I mean, technically, you're still...
And on technically, you filed the paperwork.
Okay. But at first, I thought maybe they wanted him to be the head coach, but they just want him to be the coordinator and sort of the quasi-assistant head coach because he's the guy with head coaching experience.
Right. Well, what do you think of that?
Uh-oh.
I don't think these Giants fans are jumping for joy.
I don't think they're jumping for joy.
They're not jumping for joy for either hire.
You know, I do think Jason is a much better coordinator than a head coach.
Right.
So
okay.
If they could convince him to do that, I don't know, is any job left now? Cleveland. Left. Could Jason become in play at Cleveland? I have no idea.
Man, I agree with you, Skip. I don't understand is that you got to basically have Mike Tomlin's success for an extended period of time, and then they'll let you struggle. Steve Wilkes gone after 1 year. Hugh Jackson, okay, whatever that situation. And now we're starting to see that dysfunctionality. Can anybody coach in Cleveland?
Right.
Because they fire after a year and a half, you're gone.
But you're hiring so many white guys who are unqualified to me, right? Matt Rule's not qualified. Joe Judge is not qualified.
Well, they did. I guess anybody that's under Coach Belichick. At least Brian Flores says I did get an opportunity.
Okay.
And this is ridiculous.
Doing very well with it.
This is ridiculous.
You would think that would encourage others to open their door, but not yet.
No.
And what are we down to? 4 African-American?
Brian Flores, Mike Tomlin.
Oh, of color.
Color. Anthony Lynn, 3.
Anthony Lynn and then Ron Rivera.
Ron Rivera, yes. Yes.
Color.
So 4.
Okay. All right. Not good enough. And now we just continue to see guy after no-name guy get jobs.
Because the guy that's doing the hiring is hiring the guy that look like them.
That is correct. Yep.
I don't know. The Giants fans, and just to be a sports fan in New York right now, they have not had a lot of success as of late.
Between the Knicks, the Giants, and the Jets, good luck with that.
No mercy. Thanks for listening to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm Jenny Taft. Join us again at the same time tomorrow morning, 9:30 Eastern. We'll see you then.
Facts, sports, one of one.